You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Look, let's do a bit of setup. I'd love to hear your survival flicks, but I suspect the trailer for All Is Lost, Robert Redford's new film, will spell it out for you. This is Robert Redford on a yacht battling the ocean. Have a listen.
This is the Virginia Jean with an SOS call, over. This is the Virginia Jean with an SOS call, over. This is the Virginia Jean with an SOS call, over.
That is Robert Redford in All Is Lost. Josh Nelson, before we get into survival flicks and your favourite Robert Redford film, tell me about All Is Lost.
Well, that was all of the dialogue right. That you just heard from All Is Lost. It is a survival film. It opens basically with a voiceover, actually. Rob Redford describing that, you know, he's been lost at sea. All is lost. He apologizes and he sends his love. And that's all we know. And that's all we really find out about his backstory. The narrative reverses 8 days. And then we get a series of unfortunate events, basically, right, where his yacht takes on one accident after another and
so
he tries to repair
it. So describe the atmosphere, the feel of the fleet.
It's a little claustrophobic. There's a number of interesting things that won me over with this film from the get-go. One is it doesn't rely on a contrivance like Wilson. I mean, so many of these types of films concoct something to create a faux sense of dialogue, a faux sense of drama. And this one doesn't. It really relies on Redford's performance. And what I really loved about his performance is how much of it is internal. So much of this could have been him talking to himself, him, you know, overacting at every opportunity. In fact, he actually underplays for most of the film, which I think actually works on drawing you into the drama of the film in a pretty realist way. The other thing I liked about this film, it doesn't actually verge into metaphysical territory. For those people who think, oh, this is a film with no dialogue and an hour and a half of Robert Redford on a boat, you know, bailing water out of the boat, it doesn't enter into a kind of Terrence Malick territory, which I love. But I think this film operates and maintains that kind of realist mandate. Remarkable score, but what deserves or what really recommends to see this film in a cinema is the soundscape is really, really incredible.
Right.
The way it concocts the sense of the ocean, the noise of the ocean, the noise of the boat as it creaks, as it's taking on water, and then, you know, a series of events sort of follow that. I'm not going to give too much away. But look, I really love this film, actually.
Not a film to watch on DVD, one to see in the cinema.
I don't think it would have the same impact on a small screen, and that's a real shame. The other minor criticisms, and, you know, that's what I'm here for, I guess. it falls into that trap of maybe one or too many misfortunes the end of the film. And this is a trap that other survival films like Buried, the Ryan Reynolds in a coffin, Rodrigo Cortez directed film. It's like, how many more things can go wrong? And it just pushes the balance a little bit in the other way towards the end of the film. And look, the ending, a little unsatisfying, but look, Redford owns this film. And for a guy who's 77 years old, he is in incredible shape in what is a really demanding film and a demanding role.
Yeah, I just looked up his age. He's 77 and it's all filmed in real ocean, isn't it? So it would have been physically a tough ask anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah, in fact, the director actually thanks the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean in the right. credits for the film. And I think a lot of it was filmed off the coast of Mexico, I gather.
Ah, okay.
So not a lot that appears to have been shot in a studio, which again reinforces just how incredible it is. In fact, in terms of those acknowledgements, the director acknowledges the three owners of the three boats they used as stand-ins for the boat that he's on, which were all sacrificed at sea in the name of art. Which I thought was quite a nice kind of acknowledgement, if you're going to do that.
Okay. Look, it sounds like a really great atmosphere in the film. Now, I always love it. You know, we every Friday, Josh and I ask you to, you know, nominate a film. And I love people who just come straight out of left field, because I'm asking for your favourite survival movies. I get to the texts that have the films that I, you know, I reckon fit the bill. How's this one? Raph, favourite survival movie is This Is Spinal Tap from the... From the highs
better
of world
than bad
touring,
Bad Boy Bubby, I guess.
Yeah, than Bad Boy Bubby. Touring from the highs of touring to the lows of sharing a bill with some puppets, theirs was truly a survival story. There you go. I love the fact that you surprised me. Stan's got Gravity and Alien as survival films. I'll take them absolutely. Have you got a favourite survival flick?
Rescue Dawn would be up there. It's sort of a survival film. It's prisoner of war slash survival film.
Don't know it.
Christian Bale in one of his weight loss roles.
I haven't seen enough Christian Bale.
That's the other one, the other recent one, which didn't get enough publicity, is The Grey, the Liam Neeson film.
Ah, that was supposed to be wonderful.
And that does get into metaphysical territory, and I loved that film.
Well, yet again, my mother loved that. Told me I should have seen it.
She's got good taste.
She does have, and I have to give her a very public... You were right, Mum, and I was wrong. I'll tell you what that film is in a moment. Let's go through some survival films first. Jim's called from Mentone. Jim, what's your survival flick?
Just seen Tracks, Robin Davison.
Oh, yeah, right.
Fantastic. But what I rang about, if you can ask your guest if he can use his influence so we can see All Is Lost in the Southern Suburbs, because there's no screening in Bayside at all.
Is there no sort of Palace cinema screening?
No, no Denny Brighton, no Brighton, no Southland.
Yeah, well, Josh basically runs all those places. So, Josh, you
and
can
the kingpin
out,
of distribution in this country. Yeah. Not.
The nearest place we have to go is to Lygon Street, plus the parking ticket.
Well, yeah, they've got good food, you know, nice people.
Yeah, but can we have it in Bayside?
I tell you what, if you sign a petition, maybe if you create the petition, we'll all sign it.
I've already done that.
Oh, you've already done it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How many people signed?
1,100.
Wow.
See, in Bayside, they're all yachties. You've got the Sandringham
Good
Yacht
point.
Club.
Point.
You've got the Hantam Yacht Club.
Maybe you should try the Brighton Yacht Club or someone, the Sandringham Yacht Club, see if they'll sort of sponsor a screening or something.
Yeah, but I think your guest has got more influence than they have.
Josh is... I think Josh wishes he had that sort of influence. Yeah. But it's a good idea, Jim. Good luck. Good luck with the petitions.
If the distributor's listing, there you go. 1,100 bums on seats from the get-go.
And Mike's texted in Milo and Otis and all of the Predator films. Isn't Milo and Otis the one where all the animals died in the filming? I'm sure.
There was that, all that controversy
lots and lots
about
of the
that,
cats and dogs died in the filming of that. So that's not really a survival film. Gosh, poor cats and dogs. Peter's called from Sunshine. Hi, Peter.
Oh, g'day, Raph, and you'll get that.
Josh Nelson is his name. He's a film
Josh,
viewer.
Yeah, look, I'm a yachtie, as Jim referred, and I saw this actually on an aeroplane, and I couldn't watch it. It was just so factually incorrect from the very opening scene.
Oh.
I sort of scanned, you know, kept an eye on it, half watching it, but just everything that he did was what, I mean, even the clip that you had there, he's calling SOS. I mean, where did I get his radio license? Nobody called SOS, they called Mayday.
So you wouldn't reconsider seeing it in the cinema? Maybe it'd have more of an emotional impact on you?
No, it just frustrates. I mean, I've done sea safety survival courses and radio courses and everything, and there's just the actions that he took.
Not realistic enough for you.
Well, they were just they obviously didn't have a yachtie as an advisor to it. Because,
well, maybe they didn't. Maybe. Do you have a favourite survival film, though?
Well, I did like Gravity. I was very impressed with Gravity.
Oh, yeah, Gravity's a damn fine film.
In the film's defence, just quickly, and I was sort of semi-aware that there may be factual inaccuracies with his approach. I think we're meant to see him as a fairly incompetent yachtsman because he seems to make mistake after mistake after mistake. So we get the idea that he's not a professional man going around the world in sort of, you know, style necessarily.
And Raph, my survival movie is Wolf Creek. The fact that I survived watching such a god-awful movie and not demanding my money and time back. Otherwise, I'd say Gulliver's Travels, the children's version, and the classic 70s flick, The Poseidon Adventure. D, you and I are at one. Now, I just want to give, this is my very public mea culpa. You may know if you listen regularly enough at 4:45 on 774 ABC Melbourne. My mum's a movie reviewer. She's been at me to see 12 Years a Slave. And I keep on saying, I don't want to see another, you know, grueling, violent. I can't stand it. She's like, no, everyone must see this film. This is an extraordinary film. It's necessary for you to see it. And to my dearest mother, you were right. More importantly, I was wrong. If you haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, it is easily the most grueling film that I have sat through since Schindler's List, to be honest. But it is extraordinary. So, Josh, you said it was extraordinary when you came in and reviewed it. I actually don't know where to start with 12 Years a Slave. I've never been so compelled to watch something that horrible.
I think the point I raised when I reviewed it the first time was it's not sensationalist.
No.
It's so earnest in its approach. It's so kind of honest, and it doesn't ramp up the violence. I think people have a perception that what makes this a grueling, if you haven't seen it, a grueling experience is it's, you know, like a Passion of the Christ kind of violence.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all. It's the emotional violence of and the idea of losing freedom. That's what's really offending in the film. Someone who has freedom and loses it, as opposed to a slave who never had it in the first place. I think it's a really interesting angle on slavery.
And it's about the psychology and the language that allows one class of human beings to view another class of human beings as subhuman. And it's the thought, the ideology, the religion, the language that comes out. And no, I didn't realize either, and we'll move on to survival films. I guess it's the ultimate survival film. But still, that's an ensemble cast. Paul Giamatti, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Fassbender, and that's before you even get to the main roles.
Yep.
So that's just my little pitch for the day. If you haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, my mum says you should. So I don't know if that encourages you or not. She's a pretty sensible woman though. 1300 222 774. Someone's saying I walked out of 12 Years a Slave because of the grinding hopelessness of the first 20 minutes. Actually, I watched three couples walk out of the screening I was at.
Wow.
I was pretty packed screening, my one, last weekend. But, I understand that, but still.
So it's still doing good business.
Yeah, it was Saturday afternoon in the city. So maybe it was post-Academy Awards ceremony.
Yeah, still
so
on the back of that. Yep.
Someone's saying, hi, guys. I Am Legend with Will Smith is my favourite survival movie. That's from Sam. The 60s film Robinson Crusoe on Mars is terrific as a survival film. That's from Randall. Haven't heard about that one. I'm not sure I need to, but still.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Look, rather amusingly, someone was texting in about the Norwegian Ninja film when we were talking about Norwegian pop music about an hour ago. Now they're texting in about Norwegian Ninja as their favourite survival film. I don't know where that's going. Tell me about The Armstrong Lie, Josh. I love this filmmaker.
Yeah, this is director Alex Gibney, who's quite a prolific documentarian. Recently, things like Mia Maxima Culpa, Silence in the House of God, Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, and the WikiLeaks doco.
Yeah, yep.
So two of those were last year.
We Steal Secrets, yes.
That's right, yep. This is a documentary he started in 2009, which was initially intended as a comeback-style doco. He was following Lance Armstrong on the 2009 Tour de France, which was billed as his big comeback. And then, of course, when the chorus of denouncements grew louder and louder, the documentary got shelved. Armstrong finally sort of fessed up on Oprah. Gibney decided he wanted his piece of flesh and said, "You lied to me as well. You owe me one interview." So this is a kind of combination of footage that he took during 2009 and the subsequent interview, which was actually filmed 3 hours after the Oprah interview. So Armstrong looks a little haggard, which is probably quite suitable for the documentary. And it tries to kind of recap, I guess, the story, but through the frame of what was it about 2009? What was driving the comeback and why was that so significant?
Let's just have a little listen to the trailer for The Armstrong Lie.
If I win again, they're not going to... They can't say that. They cannot. Well, you can, but...
He had lied to me, straight to my face, all throughout 2009.
UCI will ban Lance Armstrong from cycling.
When the truth came out, I told him he owed me an explanation.
After the years and years of just the most amazing denials.
I can emphatically say I'm not on drugs.
He agreed to sit down one more time.
I certainly was very confident that I would never be caught.
The gift that he has is his gift as a storyteller.
A cancer survivor overcoming the disease comes back and wins. Yeah, they liked that.
That is The Armstrong Lie. Josh, what's it like?
Well, if you had your head buried in the sand and you don't know too much about the story and I guess the background to Armstrong and what's been since been proven or what's been accused, I think you'll probably find this documentary quite revealing. If you are familiar with the story, I'm not sure what is the hook for you to go and see this film. I actually was travelling back from the States on the day that he gave the Oprah interview, and at each port of call, I think there was three airport stopovers at the way, and I read probably two newspapers in each different country. So I got the story from the kind of international press. So I was quite aware of what had been sort of revealed and what had sort of been opened up to. What I find most interesting about this film is not what's at the core of it, which is, I guess, a portrait of Armstrong as quite an obsessive, an egomaniac, someone who even says losing equals death and he'd rather die than lose, amongst various other kind of comments that he comes out with. But it's the sub-threads, the minor narrative threads, which I think could have been at the core of the documentary. And one is about storytelling. And this is a line that Gibney toys with for a while, that it was about Armstrong controlling his own story and that's why he held out so long refuting the lies, because he was so... so convinced in his own story about the hero, the comeback, you know, the guy who you know, the kind of mythical American narrative, which he was sort of perpetuating. And then you have the kind of the contrasting stories of the press and then you have Gibney's involvement as a filmmaker.
Quite impressed by it. You're impressed by it or not?
I'm impressed by Gibney as a filmmaker. So in no way is this a bad documentary. Yeah. It's polished. I just think where it struggles with is trying to reconcile what is the hook for this story? What is he revealing that we don't already know? And I think it touches on a number of interesting issues to do with Armstrong, to do with the sport,
yep,
to do with the notion of hero worship, and even the kind of ethical issue which is raised, which the documentary comes back to at the end, was Armstrong in breach of the rules of the road? No. Was he in breach of the rules of the law? Yes. Mm. So this idea of if everyone was doing it, was he actually lying or was he just playing the game like everyone else was? You know, it's also interesting the way it touches on scapegoating. Was he the scapegoat or was it all the other team members that sort of fell in his wake and don't have the endorsements?
He was the flag bearer.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, look, so yeah, this is an interesting documentary. I still have incredible respect for Gibney as a documentarian, but I just think it lacked a kind of hook. And maybe that's because it's torn between two different documentaries, yeah, the documentary in 2009 and the one interview that now he's had to try and reshape into something new and fresh.
The film is The Armstrong Lie. It's a documentary. The Robert Redford flick is All Is Lost. People texting in on survival films. Logan's Run. First saw it at the drive-in in the 70s. Every day over 30 has been a blessing. That's from Dave in Altona. Enemy Mine. Yes, like it. That's from Carl in Emerald. And someone else suggesting Sharknado. If you don't know it, look it up. Not so sure. But Royce has called from somewhere on the Mornington Peninsula. Hi, Royce.
Oh, g'day there, Raf and Josh.
Thank you.
What's your flick?
Well, mine's a bit of an art house film, so Josh no doubt will know it, and maybe you, Raf, as well, which is Werner Herzog's film, The Aguirre, The Wrath of God.
Ah, yes. I have to say, that's another favourite of my mother's that I haven't seen. Maybe I should.
Oh, mate, you've got to watch it. It's a fabulous film, you know, set in the Amazon, et cetera, during the time of the Spanish, probably, you know, 16th century.
Yeah.
Where the Spanish have the dual goal of finding El Dorado,
yes,
lost city of gold, and also converting the heathen natives to Christianity.
And it's a grueling kind of film, Royce?
It's unbelievable, yeah. It's with Klaus Kinski, who plays a middle officer,
right,
along the party, and he's a psychopath completely. And it's an amazing film.
Well, I tell you what, Royce, all I can think of, I'm just getting flashbacks of my mother. I think it's another one she told me I should have seen. It's terrible.
I love that film.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a great documentary on Klaus Kinski and Werner Herzog called, I think it's called Klaus Kinski, My Best Fiend. And
right.
It's about their very tumultuous kind of love-hate relationship because they collaborated a number of times. Right. Really great doco.
More things I haven't seen that I should. Dead Calm. Yes, that's a great survival film. Spooky Sam and Nicole are brilliant. That's from Diane. And Toy Story 3 is like Bad Boy Bubby. My favourite survival film would have to be Toy Story 3. I don't know where it's coming from. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
His blog is filmology.com with a PH. The films we talked about were All Is Lost and The Armstrong Lie.